That is one of the dumbest things I've ever heard for someone to say that, and out of touch or tone deaf.
Hey everybody, Adam Mockler here. I'm still in New York City doing my media week, doing a bunch of meetings, and one of my interviews was with Don Lemon. I went on the Don Lemon Show in person and we talked politics. Honestly, it was one of the best chats I've had in a while, so make sure you drop a like on this video to support. Make sure you're subscribed to the Adam Mockler feed and watch until the end. Thank you.
If you're so afraid of making a mistake that you're that risk averse, once you actually do make a mistake, it gets so amplified right. That it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. When Donald Trump just bulldozes through like a bull in a china shop, he's like, oh, I'll say that I don't agree with Erica Kirk about her dead husband not wanting hate. And then I'm going to go and tweet some insane shit about Pam Bondi, saying right. That Pam Bondi needs to begin prosecuting my opponents. He doesn't care. And I think it works for him.
Then you're on to the next thing.
On to the next. And I don't know if we need a Democrat that is this insane and bolsterous. Like, I don't want that. I don't want blue MAGA. But I want someone aggressive. The projection of strength that the Democratic Party has lacked is something that I'm looking for. And I know a lot of people are looking for.
I just want someone who doesn't give a fuck. Yeah, I don't want blue MAGA, like you said, but I want someone like what Gavin Newsom is doing with his social media. I want that type of person.
Yeah.
That's the type of person that I want. Do you see the ridiculousness of this? What I'm going to do for this country is going to be the best thing. We're connecting with the working class in America. I don't have time to worry about your purity test or something that I said that, you know, some slight that you found. I'm sorry, get over it, and then just keep pushing. Like, that's what I want.
Republicans thought that Biden was that. It's insane because Republicans thought that Biden and Merrick Garland were these insanely authoritarian. Like, Republicans, if they think that Biden and Merrick Garland were rough, wait until we get some sort of Newsom who's actually willing to throw punches. That's what we need. And I love Biden. I loved his presidency. But looking back on it, I think everyone kind of agrees, like, damn, why were they so weak with Merrick Garland and on all of these cases? Yeah. And it just felt we needed a bulldog in there, because even if we don't have a bulldog, we put a chihuahua, they see a bulldog either way.
Like, yeah, I think the word is swagger. We want someone with swagger.
Yeah.
Right. Like when Obama used to go, just let it roll off your back or
didn't he literally drop a mic one time?
He dropped a mic, and he also did this in the middle of a press conference. I think it was in the middle of a press conference, an interview. He literally did that. But I was so heartened to see him when he spoke out about what he said about Charlie Kirk and how people should react to it and the country's reaction to it. It was just pitch perfect. It was nice to see a president who actually has command of the English language, who knows grammar and sentence structure.
Yeah, it was nice for once. But going back to your Obama point, Jasmine Crockett also made a really good point. She said that only two white Democrats voted against the Remembrance Day for Charlie Kirk. And Jasmine Crockett's broader point was like, it doesn't seem like a lot of the white Democrats understand the pain inflicted on Black communities when you're rising up. Her phrase was, we've done so much work to get rid of these old artifacts, like the Confederate statues. Why are we creating a new one, a new person like Charlie Kirk, with these insane views that about the Civil Rights era and about MLK Jr.?
The Democrats, the white Democrats, they didn't get that.
They did not get it.
They don't.
And
that's why I've been so adamant about just speaking my mind, using my First Amendment rights to and playing back Charlie Kirk's own words to tell you why people of color, why Black women have an issue with, you know, getting the National Medal of Honor, have an issue with lowering the flags to half staff, have an issue with calling him a civil rights leader or icon. It's just not so. And even have an issue with people saying, well, he said racist stuff, but he's not racist. It's like, okay, what on earth does that mean?
Yeah. Now, this is a debate I just had with Cuomo. He was telling me that Democrats should not be out there talking about what Charlie Kirk said. They should only condemn his shooting, right? And I pushed back. I said, I disagree. I see so many young men right now, not just young men, people of all ages and all genders, but like in my sphere, I see a lot of people who are using Charlie Kirk's death to not only push these beliefs, but there's a broader consolidation of this Christian right-wing movement. You saw this huge event in Glendale, Arizona, of a bunch of young people, right? And it feels like throughout the country, a lot of apolitical people or vaguely Christian people are getting sucked into this pipeline of Charlie Kirk. I have this whole pipeline theory where it's like, young men want to go online and get dating advice, they get sucked into the Andrew Tate pipeline. Right. Say a young woman wants to go online and get workout advice, they get sucked into the RFK Jr. Make America Healthy Again. There exists all these pipelines on the internet, and there's a new one now. If you're even vaguely Christian, there's a pipeline over to this Charlie Kirk ideology. And when Cuomo was like, why do you push back so hard when he just died? I'm like, dude, there are people across the country who are getting sucked up into the civil rights shouldn't have, like the Civil Rights Act shouldn't have existed type of ideology. It's almost a dereliction of duty for me in this space not to be pushing back, using my platform to make sure this isn't happening. And it's just, it's insane to me that we're not allowed to push back on harmful, hateful ideas just because, like, when MLK Jr. died, 60 years later, Charlie Kirk said he was a bad guy. I disagreed with him, but he shouldn't have gotten assassinated. Like, we could say that about Charlie Kirk.
Yeah. What about when who died again? You said
MLK.
When MLK died. Yeah. I'm glad you brought up that point because that is one of the dumbest things I've ever heard for someone to say that and out of touch or tone deaf, especially not to understand how people of color and women feel. All you have to do is play back the sound bites of when he said, Sheila Jackson Lee and Joy Reid and Michelle Obama and Ketanji Brown Jackson, they don't have brain processing power. How insulting that is to women who, all of them, I believe, graduated from Ivy League schools with advanced degrees. And so that's insulting to a lot of people. How do you not talk about this moment without talking about someone's words? We talk about Dr. King's words. I have a dream. I've seen the mountaintop. That's where that came from, right? Malcolm X, by any means necessary. When people die, we take their words, and those words define who they are.
Yep.
Right? What they were thinking, the moments that they helped to shape, the culture that they helped to shape in America. Charlie Kirk said all of those things. So what do they mean? And we cannot ignore them. So that is... that comes from a place of privilege for someone who never, ever has to think about that.
Yeah. The line of thinking was that if, like, you undermine your argument when you say Charlie Kirk shouldn't have died, but when you say the word but after, it feels like you are then giving some sort of justification. But I think overall, we need to be pushing back on this Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk shouldn't have died, and he should not have said some of the things that he said in life.
And is better.
That were offensive to a lot of people. Especially people who are not part of the larger culture and people who are a part of an underserved community. And especially the things that he has said about people, about Black people, because Black people have a unique, or African Americans have a unique relationship and experience with this country. Mm-hmm. We are the only people who came here not voluntarily and through slavery. So if the people who helped to build this country and who had that relationship with this country, who've gone through slavery and lynchings and Jim Crow and all of that, if they tell you that this is offensive, perhaps you should listen rather than trying to ignore it or justify, how you feel about something or justify your grift.
You know what really pisses me off about Charlie Kirk's ideology when it relates to DEI? He doesn't even understand what DEI is fundamentally. Have you heard that one quote where he's like, I wouldn't let a Black lesbian fly my plane? He said that before.
Yeah, but you wouldn't let a Black lesbian fly my plane, or when I get on a plane and I want it to be a white guy named Chad or something or whatever he says, and then if I see it like Laquisha, I don't want her flying. And then people say, oh my God, he was not racist. What is that statement if not racist?
Does he think they just endlessly promote the least qualified people based on skin color? Because that's not what DEI is.
Well, he would be a DEI hire because he was a college dropout.
For real. From my understanding, it's opening the application pool so that people who maybe haven't had the same opportunities earlier on in life then are allowed the opportunity. From there, TSA, the FAA, they're going to make sure that you are damn well trained. It doesn't matter how you got there. Isn't DEI just opening up the application pool, making sure that people have opportunity? Yeah. He doesn't understand that. I just don't know how you can get to this point. Is it willful ignorance? Or?
No, it's American.
Malignant. Yeah.
It comes from the same people who want to ban books and not teach American history. Mm. And so, it's white supremacy. Kimmel, he's back, except Nexstar and what's the other, Sinclair are saying, nope, not going to run him. Not for now. What do you think?
I think that overall, it was an innocuous comment that he should not have gotten struck off air for. The fact that you now have to worry about getting struck off air. Has Jimmy Fallon said anything about this, or has he been quiet about it because he's not worried? Like, I'm pretty sure there's a chilling effect that happens throughout the sphere where it's like, oh, wow, now I'm kind of worried.
He spoke out about it, but I mean, you know, Jimmy Fallon is pretty mild-mannered. You know, he's kind of a, you know, he's a nice guy. He's that, but he has spoken out about it. And I think he was very supportive of Kimmel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I just mean, like, it feels like there's this chilling effect in the broader industry.
You mean spoken out about the chilling effect? I have not heard that. I don't think.
No, I just mean, like, it feels like I've seen some other people in the industry a little bit more careful now after that happened. And that's exactly what they want. Even though Kimmel's coming back on the air, they got what they wanted, the Trump administration. They proved via public intimidation that they can create this, you know, environment where you can get pulled off. And then that creates a chilling effect broadly around, you know, the entire sphere.
Do you, as a younger person, feel like that you have a better insight, not better insight, you have fresher eyes than older folks? Like I mentioned David Axelrod, and I see some of the older commentators, they say things on television that feel, you know, so 1950s, or I mean, you know, I'm exaggerating, but like so 90s and just outmoded and outdated now.
I think I have fresher eyes in terms of the algorithm because I'm growing up around young men who are getting sucked down this algo, but that doesn't mean that I can't soak in a lot from their experience or filter out what they say. I have a lot of mentors who are like way older than me. And with some of them, eclectic people, you just have to learn what to filter out. You know, you have to learn like, I probably don't need to use this advice, but this advice really stuck with me. So I think with David Axelrod, I have a lot of respect for him. I think
he's brilliant.
He's brilliant.
But he has comments out there. So that's all I can.
He's brilliant, but I've seen him on TV a few times being very risk averse. He needs to stop
that's
being risk averse.
It's like,
do you think, so right now, I keep going back to young men just because that's how I kind of like view things right now. And I'm kind of working on this issue that Democrats are losing young men. I'm like, do you think young men who play video games and like sports or whatever are going to want a risk-averse, boring party of people who don't take a single risk? No, we want edge. Like what Newsom's doing can appeal to people because it has edge. It has a little bit of oomph to it rather than how safe can I play this?
Yeah. Right on.